Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality. Hello, and welcome to the Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm your host, Richard Reed, and in this episode, you're joining me in the second of a two-part series where we are learning about the coaching journey at the British School in Brussels. In part one, Deputy Head Annelie Chambers shared with us the significant shift over recent years that the school has experienced with regard to professional learning, and how coaching now plays an integral part of the school's day-to-day life. Melanie, it's great to have you back for this second episode.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard. Good to be here again.
Good to have you. Now, in this second episode, I'm really pleased to welcome another member of the BSB team, Emma Vlemink. Emma is a teacher of German, French and Humanities at BSB, as well as bilingual coordinator and a professional learning partner. And she has a lead role in developing coaching across the school. Emma, I'm delighted you're able to join the conversation today.
Me too. Thank you very much, Richard, for having me.
You are very welcome. Okay, Emma, I'd like to kick things off by giving you the opportunity to share with us a bit of your education journey and how you arrived at BSB, and also what or who inspired you to get interested in coaching and education.
Yes, I'm French, and I have studied German language and literature studies in France and in Germany. I've taught German linguistics and literature for 13 years at different universities in France. I then moved to Stavanger, Norway, where I started working in an international school as a French and German teacher. And what struck me the most was that the educational approach was more holistic. So the school was really encouraging students to be active citizens in a global community. And also that teacher collaboration was embedded in the culture of the school. We had plenty of opportunities to meet and share insights and create creative plans. I then moved to Brussels, Belgium, 7 years ago. And I started at BSB as a German teacher, as you said, and became quickly involved in the French-English bilingual department, which I'm now coordinating. And the fact that I teach German, humanities and French shows how much BSB supports professional growth and how much BSB welcomes versatile teachers. But most importantly, the professional learning community at BSB inspired me to embark on my coaching journey. So 4 years ago, I applied for a professional learning role to inquire about supporting and sharing effective and innovating practice. I think I've always had the sense that teachers work too often in isolation, and this can sometimes affect motivation or inhibit innovation. And coaching seemed to me a powerful way to remind people what they are good at. So what particularly resonates with me about coaching is that you're playing to your strengths and you are stimulating insights and raise awareness to make a difference. And I can say that the professional learning community at BSB offered me a platform where I could explore and sense test and articulate what coaching at BSB could look like.
Fantastic. Staying with you for our second question, Emma, can you tell us about the process you went through a few years back where you and some colleagues developed the BSB vision for coaching?
So when I look back at my coaching journey at BSB, which started in 2019, with the coaching group, this inquiry time was predominantly marked by readings, online trainings, and brainstorming with like-minded colleagues. And I think our group was quite unique because there were two operational members of staff and only one teacher, me. And there was no prescriptive path attached to the role. And we felt like explorers in an unknown country. And I think the fact that we had different backgrounds and different positions in the school allowed us actually to look at coaching in a variety of forms, for example, students coaching, leadership coaching, teacher coaching. And this is one of the greatest advantages within our coaching group. I think during this inquiry time, we understood what coaching is and what coaching is not. And rapidly, we came across the GCI model and also Jim Knight's instructional coaching. And we started to play with it in various situations. And additionally, we attended trainings and listened to podcasts, read articles, and practiced actually coaching conversations to upskill ourselves. So I guess our learning journey was punctuated with theory, but also with practical sessions. And what I have learned is that having a model is important because it can give a solid foundation. But equally, I think it is also important to have the freedom to adapt it to your context once you have the skill set. So one example of this is our pedagogical cycle. We diverged from Jim Knight's approach because we saw the benefit for the coach and the coachee changing roles so that participants have an experience of both. And this seems also more consistent with PL practice at BSB because of its emphasis on the fundamental reciprocity of teaching and learning. And I'd say another aspect that is quite unique at BSB is that we could coach in several languages. As the three of us speak English, French, and Dutch. When you're being coached, you are vulnerable. And speaking another language adds to the challenge. I know this. So a colleague told me this once, and he said, so when we did coaching conversations, and he said that he felt speaking in French really facilitated the coaching conversation. So even though foundations were in place, thanks to the PR community at BSB, there were also obviously barriers along the way. And I think the main one to me is how can we develop coaching across school in an invitational way? Because coaching cannot be imposed upon someone, but it needs enough traction to flourish further. So how can we build trust further to encourage people to take risks and to try out new things? And how do we make time for things that matter?
Fantastic, Emma. I was mesmerized listening to your description of that whole process. And I've noted a couple of things down, and it fits in really well with what you've mentioned in the previous episode, Mel. That opportunity at the start, which is basically a great investigation. You know, what is coaching? And as you say, Emma, what isn't coaching? I love that phrase, we were explorers in an unknown country. And what a lovely way for you know, members of staff, not just teachers, as you say, but members of staff, again, you know, underlining the whole family of BSB learners, where it's not just restricted to teachers, where you had an opportunity to be explorers in an unknown country. And again, that additional layer of coaching in a variety of different languages, because you're absolutely right, you know, a coaching conversation, you do need to become vulnerable for the process to work, and to be able to offer different members of staff coaching in their native tongue is such a tremendous thing. So thank you so much for sharing that journey with us. Mel, during our planning meeting for these two episodes, you'd mentioned something that really caught my attention. When introducing an initiative like coaching, the intention is to start an organic process and then see it develop and broaden. And your question was, how do we do that without losing the beauty and integrity of the model? Can you unpack that a little for us?
Yeah, I think within the context we work in at BSB, our professional learning community is a genuinely staff and student-led model. It values the inquiry and learning that can be gained from leading an initiative without formal responsibility. But sometimes when a colleague shares their ideas about something, it can be a real temptation to wade in and offer advice. But it is really important to maintain our curiosity and allow staff to go through that process of their own thinking if the initiative is going to be owned by them. A strength of our professional learning community is not having a predetermined end goal, you know, in terms of the detail of it. Yes, we've got a joint vision on a broad level, but the specific details are yet to be created. And Emma is someone that's been through that process in that she started out thinking about, you know, reflective practice at BSB, and then that ended up as a model of pedagogical coaching. And we didn't know that when we offered her that role to go into that space. So it allowed for that that process. And I think leaders really need to trust their teams to go through that process of inquiry and experimentation and review. However, that level of trust is not the same as blind trust. It's not about leaving people to struggle on their own and just go, oh, just get on with it. You know, the leader needs to be there at their side, asking the right questions, removing barriers, giving permissions, and also to know when the inquiry has reached a point where some structure and formalization can be added. And that's our role as a leader.
Yeah. I love that idea of, you know, yes, you're showing trust, you know, in your staff as they go and experiment and they inquire about, you know, different options that are out there. But at the same time, it's not just, you know, the blind leading the blind. And I sort of picture this idea of, you know, shoulder to shoulder. Like you say, you're walking alongside and providing that support when it's needed. Emma, if I could come back to you, I'd love to ask the question. If I were to spend some time at BSB, where might I notice evidence of coaching? And we're thinking about both formal and informal settings.
I think the soil at BSB was already fertile to sustain the process. I think we were already doing coaching without labeling it explicitly as such. And people were already using the same language. And the ways of working of the PL community helped a lot in that regard. I think staff at BSB both learn together and model learning by being learners themselves. One evidence of coaching in a formal setting could be that we are now supporting a group of 12 primary and secondary teachers who have started to implement pedagogical coaching initiatives as part of their APL, Autonomous Professional Learning. And to support this, the coaching group led a session where we modeled a coaching conversation. I think it was an effective way to share ideas and also practical suggestions. Furthermore, coaching is offered not only to newly qualified teachers, but also to experienced teachers across primary and secondary school. But to capture evidence of coaching in an informal setting is not always easy. But I have the feeling now that people are now becoming more reflective about their practice and therefore more intentional. And there is a space to discuss ideas and to be heard. And in some meetings, I feel that we know we won't be interrupted, which helps deeper reflection, which is one of the key elements of coaching.
Fantastic. Just listening through your answer there, Emma, you started off by saying the soil was already fertile at BSB. That's a lovely image. And whenever you started to look into the area of coaching, the vocabulary and I suppose some of the skills of coaching then you noticed were actually already there. Maybe need to develop a little bit, but it was great to see that the evidence and the actual wording around coaching was already present in the school, which is just terrific. Thinking ahead then, Melanie, as BSB is clearly not a school that entertains the idea of standing still with regard to professional learning and development, how do you see coaching evolving in the years ahead?
Coaching is an essential tool to support our professional learning at BSB. In our setting, we have removed the more formal systems of appraisal, and we have a more self and peer accountable model. All of our staff choose their own autonomous professional learning goal for the year or 2 years, and staff can choose from quite broad pathways such as leadership or reflective practice, research, early career teaching, and perhaps more toolkit courses. But coaching supports not only that whole autonomous professional learning initiative, but each of those specific areas of inquiry as well. And each of those areas that I've talked about, they're all at different points of development. We've talked a lot about the organic processes so far in this conversation, and we haven't predetermined where each of those projects should be at by a certain point in time. So each of them need support to get to where they need to be. So an area that I see for this coming school year, once we're back, is really, I see us envisage, I envisage us working in terms of our leadership coaching. Leaders in terms of perhaps formalized leadership roles, but also that leader who is perhaps the colleague sat next to you, helping you determine what your goal is for your autonomous professional learning. And I think that's a real area that we need to work on in this coming year to make our autonomous professional learning model as effective as it can be.
Yeah. I love that. I love that phrase. You know, you're essentially saying we are still on a journey. You know, we haven't arrived there. And that comes across very clearly, Melanie and Emma, from the BSB point of view, that this is an ongoing process, that there's an opportunity for risk taking. We mentioned that in the previous episode. And you've mentioned there, Mel, that, you know, coaching is now seen as an essential tool for professional learning. And the school has gone through that fairly seismic shift as far as professional learning goes. And coaching is there to really enhance that. And there's very, very clear choice for staff, that autonomy where they're choosing their targets for the year ahead. But really, it's not just the staff that are still on an ongoing journey. It's the school as a whole professional learning community is still learning and still developing, which is a lovely sort of approach to developing a coaching culture within a school. A final question to both of you, starting with Emma. What one piece of advice would you give our teacher listeners at the very early stages of getting into coaching and education, Emma?
Change takes time. Sustainable change takes time, and it often happens step after step, mile after mile. And I think you will need to show resilience and determination to make this change happen. Sometimes you will have the feeling to go back and forth, but I think this movement is not in vain and is actually part of the process. And because change takes time, I think it's crucial to distinguish what is important and what is urgent. And coaching is important. So make sure you make the time it deserves and do not let the urgent matters have the upper hand.
Terrific. Terrific. I love the way you phrased that. But your first words there, Emma, very clearly were change takes time. And I think throughout all of these Stories in the Field podcast episodes, we're really trying to get that across and convey to listeners that this is something that takes time. You use the phrase step after step, mile after mile. So there's an assumption there that you're starting with little steps, but over a period of time, you will cover the miles. And I love that. I love that idea. Moving back and forth is not in vain. That's part of the process, which is a lovely way to encourage people who maybe are feeling they're moving back and forth, but not necessarily moving forward. So that's really, really helpful, Emma. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Same question to you, Mel, but if we're thinking about from the perspective of an actual school leader.
Take time to know yourself. Take time to know your team. Take time to know your school as a whole organization. And when I say take time to know, when it comes to your team, when it comes to your colleagues, yes, know their names, know their birthdays, know perhaps where they live. But I mean, professionally know those people, know what their absolute strengths are that can be called upon, and also know our areas of learning as well, and be curious about what those strengths are and what they want to learn, and invite them to follow their path in what they want to learn.
Take time to know yourself, take time to know your team, take time to know your school, and be curious. Emma and Melanie, it has been a real joy to learn about the coaching journey at BSB, and I really do appreciate you both giving of your time to share these valuable insights into the whole process. You've provided plenty of food for thought for our listeners, regardless of their school context, and plenty to consider for those at the very start of their coaching journey. For our listeners, if you haven't caught the first episode, please do give it a listen. You can find it and many other stories from the field in the resources section of the GCI website at growthcoaching.com.au. For now, I look forward to joining you all on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.